We're turning to the book of Exodus and the chapter 33, commencing our reading at verse 12. Exodus 33 and the verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. In the verse 18, we have this glorious phrase, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We could write over these words, a great petition. Or we might say, as we say in the country sometimes, a big ask. Here is a great petition. Let's first of all bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank thee we come today with our petition that thou wouldst bless us now and show us something of thy glory. And grant, our God, that today our hearts might be drawn out after thyself. And we pray that as a result of our being here, that thy great name will be glorified. Speak to us. O God, we bless thee that thou dost still speak to the sons of men. O God, in spite of the proneness to stray, thou art always drawing us to thyself, bringing us back again and showing us thy love and bestowing thy grace. We say, how good is the God we adore. We thank thee we're loved in Jesus Christ with an everlasting love. And we thank thee that thou wilt not let us go. So abide with us now. Shut us in to thee. Remove every distraction and center our thoughts upon thyself. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. This request was made by the man called Moses. What a man Moses was. He was of the tribe of Levi, belonging to the despised people of God as they were down in the land of Egypt, serving as slaves under Pharaoh's taskmasters. And here is Moses, chosen of God from all eternity, predestinated by God, brought by God into his care and love, and brought by the Lord to lead God's people out of the land of Egypt into the land of promise. And what a man Moses was. When he came to the years of understanding, he made a choice. And that choice was to serve the Lord, to throw in his lot with God's people as they suffered affliction and as they labored under great burdens down in Egypt. Moses made up his mind. He made his choice. He chose the Lord. He chose God's way. And he chose God's people. And what a choice that was in this young man's life. As I said, he was a predestinated man, chosen in eternity to do God's will on earth and to lead God's people out of bondage. God helped him in the raising of his voice, in speaking the truth, and in becoming a leader, leading God's people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, to the very borders of the land of Canaan, the land of promise. Here's a man who, in his calling by God, glorified God and served the Lord with all his heart. He was a patient man. The Bible calls him a meek man. Meekness, as we often said before, doesn't mean weakness, because Moses was a strong man, strong in faith, strong in conviction, strong in doing the will of God. He was strong spiritually, but he was a very patient man in the face of opposition, complaints, criticism, and in the face of much that would discourage many another. Moses remained patient in his serving the Lord, and he patiently loved his people, and he patiently served the Lord, and he patiently went through with God. He was a proudless man, meek, not proud, man of great humility, a man who didn't allow sin to cause his heart to be boasted up, but he was a man who humbly walked with his God, man who prayed for his people in such terms as, Lord, blot out my name from the book that thou hast written. Imagine praying such a prayer, to have his name blotted out of God's book for the sake of the people whom he led. They were unfaithful. They were a complaining bunch. They were a people who sinned against God and against Moses. And yet Moses was so deeply concerned for his people that he prayed the prayer, Lord, blot out my name out of the book which thou hast written. Remember the Apostle Paul? Didn't he pray a similar prayer in Romans chapter 9? He prayed that the Lord would blot his name out of the book of life. If that could be done and bring in his own people into God's kingdom. Such was the love and compassion of these two men. Such was their concern for the souls of others that they wished that they could be blotted out of God's book so that their fellow kinsmen could be brought in. Do you have a love for God like that? And a love for souls like that? Is that the passion of our hearts today? Has there ever been a time in our lives when we got down before God and we were so prostrated at his feet that we wept with tears, wishing if it could be possible, it's not possible, but even desiring that as others were brought into the kingdom, the Lord would blot my name out of his book. Do you have a compassion for souls today? Are you like Moses? Are you like the Apostle Paul, child of God? How is it with you at this time? Moses was a privileged man. No ordinary man born by natural generation who ever lived on this earth or he ever will live on this earth, will ever have the privileges that Moses had in his day. He was privileged to know direct communication with God. He was privileged to listen to God speak to him audibly. God did that with Moses. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And in all that mighty land hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. God was with him. What a privileged man he was. He was privileged to have God as his guide and director. He was privileged to have God as his leader. Privileged to appear on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus was transfigured before three of his disciples, there appeared Moses and Elijah. What a privileged man he was. He was privileged in many ways. So were we. A very privileged people in so many ways. If we were to sit down and count our privileges, mark them and name them and write them down, my, we would be surprised at just how privileged a people we really are. Privileged to have been given the opportunity to hear the gospel. Privileged to have heard the call of Christ to come to him and to trust him as our Savior. Privileged to hear the word and to feed upon it, whereby we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Privileged to be called to separation and to stand in such an evil day as this for the Lord. Privileged to be able to pray as God directs us, to serve God as he desires us to serve him. Privileged in so many ways, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Indeed, a privileged people. We want to thank God this morning for our privileges. And while Moses was all these things, he was also a praying man. A praying man. Think of Moses' prayers for Miriam when she sinned, when leprosy came upon her and she disobeyed the Lord. Moses prayed for his sister, Miriam, and how powerfully those prayers of Moses were answered. Moses prayed for Joshua when he was down in the valley of Rephidim, fighting against the Amalekites. And Moses, on the hilltop above, lifted up his hands in prayer to heaven and prayed for Joshua to have the victory over his enemies. How powerfully Moses prayed for Joshua and for the Israelites in battle. And Moses continued to pray for those whom he led through the wilderness. We think of his prayers for Aaron, his brother. Even when Moses came down from the mountain and discovered that Aaron had set up a golden calf for his people to worship, and God was going to destroy them. And Moses interceded and prayed that he would not wipe out their names before him. How powerfully Moses interceded. And we think of his praying for the whole nation when God threatened them with extinction because of their disobedience and idolatry. And Moses prayed, and he even prayed that he might be blotted out from God's book and that his people might be saved and delivered. And here in chapter 33 of Exodus, we have one of the greatest requests, boldest requests, that was ever made in Holy Scripture. What an audacious prayer this was. Show me thy glory. Moses wasn't being presumptuous. He wasn't being reckless, as we might think. But he had courage to pray this prayer. He had conviction. He had hunger in his soul. He had a thirst in his heart. He longed to see the glory of God. He longed for that glory. Oh, I wonder, do we come to worship God longing in our hearts to see the Lord in his book? To see the Christ of the cross as he is preached and uplifted? Do we come with that hunger and that thirst and that deep conviction of longing to see the Lord in his sanctuary? What determination is here in the heart of the Apostle Paul? May God give to us this year a determination to go through with God, that we might see Him, that we might serve Him, that we might love Him all the more in the days which lie ahead. C.H. Spurgeon, as we often quote him, he was right when he said concerning Moses, he said, "Moses stands alone, a giant among giants, a colossus even in those days of mighty men. His request surpasses that of any other man. I beseech thee, show me thy glory." This is the topmost pillar of all the towering structures that confidence in God ever plied. That's what Spurgeon said. And he goes on to say, "I am astounded that Moses should have been so bold to supplicate such a wondrous favor." If Spurgeon was astounded, then lesser mortals like ourselves, I'm sure, are even much more astounded that Moses should be so bold as to pray such a prayer, the audaciousness of praying like this. Have you ever asked the Lord out of a longing, hungry, and thirsting heart for God to show you His glory, that you might see Him afresh, a vision, spiritually speaking, that you've never seen before? Isaiah was privileged when in chapter 6 of his book he tells us that he was in the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Lord's train and His glory filled the temple. Oh, it was just a building of bricks and mortar. Yes, it was ornate in many ways by the works of men's hands. But Isaiah didn't see the ornate works of men's hands. He saw the Lord's train, the Lord's glory, as he focused his eyes and lifted his heart unto the Lord. And surely we could do no better at this moment in time than to lift our eyes to the Lord and ask that we might see the Lord's glory. And may His train, His glory, fill the place. The audaciousness of His prayer. But let's look for a moment at the uniqueness of the place. Verses 21 and 22 and 23, it says, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." There is only one place, and one place only, where Moses could see the glory of God. And that place is described in the words of verses 21, 22, and 23. We have just read them again. You'll note it was a divinely positioned place. It says, "A place by me." A place, in other words, alongside me. Or we might say, a place close to me. Is that where we want to be today? We want to be placed, positioned by the Lord The Lord caused this position to come about. It was the Lord who positioned Moses in this place. The Lord brought him to this place, a place alongside of him, a place close to him. Oh, how we long to be drawn nearer to our God today. How we long to be close alongside our Savior, walking with him, talking with him, just like the two on the Emmaus Road. Oh, they were positioned in a place alongside Christ. And they heard him speak. They walked with him. They talked with him. They fellowshiped with him. What a blessing it must have been to them. What a thrill when their eyes were opened in the village of Emmaus, as the Lord Jesus Christ sat with them, and as he broke the bread and spake to them, and their eyes were opened, and their dullness was removed, and the veil was taken away, and they beheld him, they knew him, and they saw him, they saw his glory. And my, what a change took place in their entire disposition. Because as the Savior left them, they wanted him to tarry. But as he left them, they immediately arose and went back to Jerusalem, witnessing that they had seen the risen Christ, that they had talked with him, that he had talked with them. And they wanted to make it known to his disciples and to others. Oh, how wonderful it is when we meet with the Lord and we have a fresh vision of him. Oh, we want to make it known, and we want to tell others how wonderful, not we, how wonderful we are, or how wonderful has been our experience, but how wonderful is the Lord. We want to tell them of the glory of Christ, of the power and wonder of the one who saved us and redeemed us. That's what Moses desired. It was God who brought them out of Egypt. It was God who saved them from their bondage in the land of Egypt. And the Lord had done so much for Moses that Moses longed to be with the Lord, alongside him, positioned with in a place close by him. Oh, may that be the longing of our hearts today. It was a divinely predestinated place as well. It was not a new place. It was an old place. It was ancient place. It was a rock. An ancient old rock, divinely predestinated, created, made by, and planted by the Lord. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. Only a rock foundation can hold us up when we're under pressure and the tornadoes of opposition are being fired against us. Only a rock foundation, and that divinely predestinated place is the only place where we can behold the glory of the Lord. And that rock today is Christ. And it's only standing on that rock. It's only positioned on that rock. It's only being alongside Christ that we can appreciate and enjoy his presence and his glory. And Christ is that rock. He's our rock in a weary land. Oh, I wonder today, is that longing in your heart to see him? It is also a divinely protected place. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, it says here, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. The hand of God was the great protection. Without that, the glory would have destroyed Moses. Moses could not have seen the glory of God on that occasion without the protecting hand of God being upon him. Thank God for his hand in our lives. Thank God it's a hand that guides us. It's a hand that protects us. It's a hand that provides for us. It's a hand that encourages us. It's a hand that does everything for us. The hand of God. You read the book of Ezra, and you will discover that the recurring phrase, the hand of the Lord, occurs 7 or 8 times throughout that book. When Ezra confesses and testifies that the hand of the Lord was upon me, at certain given instances in his life, when great challenges faced him, when opposition occurred, at all such occasions, he testifies, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And my dear friends, throughout our lives and throughout the days of this year, we too can, and I trust will be able to testify, that the hand of our God is upon us. At every given instance, at every trial, at every time of need, the hand of the Lord is upon us. It is the covenant hand of the Almighty God. As Moses gazed on the glory of that covering hand of the Almighty, he was reminded that God's hand is the covenant hand of the Almighty. In making a covenant, men between themselves in making a bargain, they used to, but maybe not so much nowadays, they used to strike their hands, and the hand was used in making a binding promise or a covenant between men. And here we have it in the Scriptures. We have the hand, the covenant hand of God in Moses' experience. And praise God, this covenant hand, the eternal hand, is upon his church today. It's also a comforting hand. Moses knew that if he saw the direct face of God, Moses knew this. He knew that if he saw the full glory of God on that rock, that he would be no longer on earth. God would have to slay him and bring him home to heaven. Because it's only in heaven that we shall behold the full glory of the Almighty. And we'll enjoy the full glory of our salvation when we see him face to face. And so therefore, this was God's comforting hand. Moses knew that while the hand of God was there upon him, that he would be comforted even in the seeing of the glory of God. Even when he saw that glory, he would recognize how sinful and unclean he was and unworthy. And in recognizing our unworthiness, that would cause us grief, wouldn't it? That would bring sorrow to us. Oh, I see my sin. How sorrowful I should be on account of the condition of my heart. And yet the hand of God is there to comfort me when I see myself just as such. Praise God, his hand is there to enable me and to comfort me when I fail and when I see my sin. It's the constant hand. The hand was there constantly as the Lord himself passed by in the cleft of that rock. It was never moved. It was there continually. And my dear friend, the hand of God is continually upon his people. He'll never withdraw it. He'll never take it away. I'm glad today that we have the hand of God, the constant hand of God every day of the year, every day of our lives. God is constantly with us, and he will never change. May we pray today that God will show us his glory and will keep our eyes focused upon Christ all the days of this year, if he spares and tarries, and will keep looking unto him, and will be able to say that he is our rock. He's the one in which we rest. He's the one in whom we shelter. He's the one from whom we find honey from the rock, the one who'll protect us and who'll never fail us. O Lord, show me thy glory today, and every day let that be our constant prayer, even as it was the prayer of Moses.